Good morning and welcome to Calvary Baptist Church of Gaines. Thank you for those in attendance this morning and those joining us online on that ministry as well. This morning we have a guest speaker, Brother Brian Treadway, and I'm just going to give a little short intro to him before he comes up and blesses us with the message that the Lord has laid on his heart this morning. He was raised in the Church of Christ and taught to be religious. As a senior in high school, going to college at the same time, he began to seek the truth about God and religion. He was saved and called to preach in July of 1992. God called him to be on the mission field of Papua New Guinea in 1994, the same year that he met his wife, Leanne, and they were married on June 3rd of 1995. God led Brother Treadway to a mission work, Grace Baptist Church, in Marlinton, West Virginia, where he served as a missionary pastor for almost 8 years. The same month, the pastor of Emmanuel Baptist Church in Abingdon, Virginia, Brother Tom Williams, retired, and Brother Brian Treadway was voted in to succeed him. There he pastored for 13 years. God has since led Brother Brian to step away from Emmanuel to become vice president and eventually take the leadership of David Wood Ministries. He is passionate about this ministry, which trains and equips preachers and people in soul winning and church planting all around the world. So that's just a little bit, and I'm sure he's got much more to say about his beautiful family. So Brother Treadway, if you're ready, we're great to hear what the Lord has laid on your heart this morning.
Well, it is a joy to be with you. I am Brother Brian Treadway. My wife sitting beside me, there's Leanne, and these three boys and that whole row of kids that went back there is ours. And then we've got one more that's in Hiles Anderson, and she's in Hiles Anderson College, Baptist College there in Hammond. And she just had to go back to school, had the privilege of seeing her Wednesday night preach for Brother Wilkerson there at the church. And so it's a joy to be with you. My oldest son here on the front's at West Coast, been there for been in college for 4 years, and going to finish up online what he's got left because of the COVID and all the other stuff that's gone on. It's been an interesting year, has it not? And so I want to deal with that a little bit. Genesis 8, the pastor, I want to thank the pastor for trusting us with the pulpit, and I pray he does have a quick recovery. I got to meet him at the Church Triumphant Conference there at First Baptist Church of Bridgeport. When I stepped out of the ministry, I had preached for Brother Dr. Ouellette for many years, and he had preached for us, and we were very close friends. And then Pastor J.D. that actually took the church when Brother Ouellette stepped aside is one of my best friends in the world and love him. And so when the Lord said we were done there at Emmanuel, which was the hardest thing I guess we've ever done, a few gaps to fill in there. We was in Papua New Guinea for several years, and because of malaria about 13 times, and the doctor pretty much saying either go home or die, and our church saying come home, we got back here to the States and took that mission work for 8 years. And about the time I was turning it over to a pastor is when the church there at Emmanuel called and said, hey, our pastor's retiring. They'd supported me in Papua New Guinea, and we'd like for you to come. And so the Lord led us there. We had about, I don't know, about 40 people on Sunday morning, 28 or so on Sunday night. And the Lord let us build that church at the highest point to about 400. Had an assistant pastor that decided he wanted about 5 years ago, four and a half, five, somewhere in there, decided he wanted to pastor a bunch of them, and about 100 or so left. But the Lord let us build that back up. And when I stepped down in March, or sorry, when the Lord told me in March of last year, right as this COVID stuff was getting really big in the States and we were kind of locked down, the Lord let me know very plainly and my family know that our time there was done, which was a real shock. I've been to Papua New Guinea. I've had guns put to my head. I've had my wife threatened, my son threatened. He about died with malaria. The oldest was born in Papua New Guinea. We've had our house stoned and a lot of other things, but that's not the hardest thing I did in ministry. The hardest thing I've ever done was walk away from a church I thought I'd be at the rest of my life. I'd moved my elderly parents there about 6-7 years ago because dad needed help, mom needed help, and moved them there and actually to say bye to them and to the church that the Lord let us build. When we went there, there really was no programs or nothing. When we left, we had Christian school, our youth, thriving RU ministry, master clubs, and just on and on I could go about how God blessed. But the Lord made it clear And when I first stepped down, I didn't know what he was doing. I'd been working with Brother David Wood and his ministry for about a year as a pastor. Had been to New Zealand with him and caught his burden, and then just even the soul winning conferences that he does here in the States. And he's, at that time, he was 77 or so years old. And he kept talking about needing to find someone to replace him. And I'd been praying for him and asking God to send somebody. And I don't know, I guess it was in 2019, he approached me around November, December, and called me one day and said, "Brother Brian." I said, "Yes, sir." He said, checked about a trip he wanted me to go with him on. I said, "Yeah, I can do that." And then he said, "I want you to pray about something." I said, "Okay." He said, "I want you to pray about taking this ministry. I think you're the man." I laughed. I said, "Well, I don't know who's supposed to take it, and I'm praying, but I'm not the guy. I'm happy pastoring. I'm doing what I'm doing. God's took care of us. The church takes great care of us. I've got a big family." I said, "No, I'm perfectly fine doing what I'm doing." And January, he come and preached for me, and we did some soul winning training. And he sat down January again of last year and said, about a year ago, and said, "Hey, I really think you're the guy." And I said, "Well, I'm glad you think that, but the Lord hadn't told me that, and I'm perfectly fine doing what I'm doing. I'll help you. I'll work with you. I was already in leadership with the ministry, but I said, I'm perfectly fine right here." Well, March of last year, God decided to let me know that what Brother Wood was telling me is also what he's telling me, that he wanted me to do that. And so that's what we're doing. We stepped out by faith. Our last Sunday at our church was July the 19th. God did let me recommend a man and actually see him installed. The last Sunday I was pastor, we actually voted by private ballot. Even with COVID, we probably had 200 or so in the service that morning in spite of COVID. And we had social distancing, every other pew, all that stuff that you had to do there in Virginia. But by private ballot, 100% voted the new guy in, which just gave me a peace that then he's doing great. The Lord's blessed him and the church. That Sunday morning, we baptized 7. I wasn't discouraged, down, or depressed. I could have stayed there the rest of my life. I finally got the church the way I wanted it after being there 13 years. And the Lord said, "Okay, time to move on." And another guy's getting to reap all those benefits. And I'm glad for him. And I was actually there a couple weekends ago doing some soul winning training. We did it on virtual online, and they're doing great. God is blessing them. But when we stepped out completely by faith. I went from a salary, being took care of, you've seen that train of kids, to literally, "Okay, God, where's the next, you know, where's the next money coming from?" And the Lord's met every need. We're living off love offerings, and I'm raising support as a missionary evangelist. And I don't have time this morning, may say a little bit more tonight, but our ministry focuses all around the world in training pastors, preachers, whether it be here in the States and soul winning. I just preached for Brother Wilkerson. I guess the epitome of soul winning church to me is First Baptist Church of Hammond, where Dr. Hiles pastored. Brother Wilkerson's there. He and I are great friends. I've preached a couple times for him. I preached Wednesday night, first Wednesday of the year for him, and he said, "I want you to deal with soul winning." And he said, not only just soul winning, but the 13 points. Even a church that is solidified in it as that, he understands the need to keep that before the people. And I want to say that if we're going to move forward, that's what we're going to have, especially after COVID, with the way it's ravaged our churches. And we probably may not get back all those that were here and other places, is what I'm hearing from pastors. But here's what I know: if we're going to recover, we got to do it God's way, and soul winning still gets the job done. And then helping national preachers all over the world. As a missionary, I seen real quickly that I could do a great work, but the biggest thing I could do was train preachers and let them take the church and them go on. And in the time we were in Papua New Guinea, I trained 2 men in 2 different areas. One was a jungle area, one was another remote area, but more outside of the capital. And all I can tell you is that both of those men, 20-something years later, they're still pastoring those same churches. Those churches have greatly increased. They've started churches out of that. And so I've seen the necessity of helping nationals. They can go places and do things that Americans can't do. They can do it a lot cheaper, a lot more efficiently. And so that's what we kind of do between soul winning and equipping and training national preachers to get the gospel and then establish churches. We've had the privilege last year in 2020, our ministry seen over 1,900 churches established in the country of India. Just in the country alone, we've got an office in every state in India, have a director over there that we work with, and have just seen God do. Right now, India is just busting at the seams, and we're seeing God do some great things. We've seen several hundred churches last year started in the country of Kenya. I'll be there this year in August with Brother Wood. My family will be with me on that one, my older kids. And just what God's doing there is amazing. The Philippines and just Central America, just God's been good to us. So I do thank you for your prayers. And I do pray that the Lord give the pastor a quick recovery. Genesis chapter number 8 is where I'm going to be this morning. The Lord just dealt with my heart as I've been praying as to what to preach. And as I looked at the events this past week and as I look at where we're at, you know, I was thinking how many people thought that just because 2021 was going to come and we got out of 2020, that just magically everything was going to change. Well, 2021 has come, and so far, it's not been any better than 2020. Amen? But I want to encourage us this morning. Genesis chapter number 8. Let me start reading in verse number 13. This should be very familiar if you follow a Bible reading plan or try to read your Bible through. Most of you should be well past this already, so it ought to be familiar to you. Genesis 8, the Bible said in verse 13, Noah is, I'm skipping, he's already built the ark, he's already been on the ark, and he's the flood has already occurred, and he's fixing to come off the ark. And that's where we're going to pick up reading in verse 13. And it came to pass in the 601st year, in the first month, the first day of the month, the waters were dried up from the earth, and Noah removed the covering of the ark and looked, and behold, the face of the ground was dry. And in the second month, on the 7th and 20th day of the month, was the earth dried. And God spake unto Noah, saying, Go forth of the ark, thou and thy wife and thy sons' wives with thee. Bring forth with thee every living thing that is with thee of all flesh, both of fowl and of cattle, and of every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth, that they may breed abundantly in the earth, and be fruitful and multiply upon the earth. And Noah went forth, and his sons, and his wife, and his sons' wives with him, every beast, every creeping thing, and every fowl, and whatsoever creepeth upon the earth after their kinds went forth out of the ark. And Noah builded an altar unto the Lord, and took of every clean beast, and of every clean fowl, and offered burnt offerings on the altar. And the Lord smelled a sweet savor, and the Lord said in his heart, I will not again curse the ground any more for man's sake, for the imagination of man's heart is evil from his youth. Neither will I again smite any more every living thing as I have done. While the earth remaineth, seed time and harvest, and cold and heat, and summer and winter, and day and night shall not cease. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. And I want to preach this morning on this thought for just a little while. Where do we go from here? Where do we go from here? Father, I love you today, and I want to thank you for the privilege I have to serve you. Thank you for this church. Thank you for the pastor. Thank you for the privilege to be here with this people. And God, we need your help this morning. They don't know me. I don't know them. But Lord, you know both of us, and you know how to give me the message that will help this group of people this morning. I pray you anoint me and use me. I pray that you give a quick recovery to the pastor. I'm glad everything went well with his procedure, and we pray that you just bless this year and that this is the greatest year of the church, Lord, that we see. Help us, Lord, now as I preach. I pray that you move upon this service and touch hearts in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. I want you to notice, I don't know if you ever stop, when I read my Bible, sometimes if we're not careful, we read it, but we don't ever stop just to consider really what took place and what happened. Can you imagine being shut up in an ark for a year? I don't know if any of you have had the privilege of being down towards Cincinnati, below Cincinnati. They've got the ark experience and that ministry there, the creation ministry. Ken Ham built this, the replica of what the ark should look like. And my family and I have been through it. As a pastor, we were about 5 hours from there, 4.5 hours from there. And we took some senior citizens and different groups there. My family's been there. And it's just a good visual picture. I don't know that I would agree with every representation of what Ken Ham put inside, but it's just a good visible impression of what that ark was. God tells Noah and his family to get in the ark. All those animals are in there. And then for a year, he's shut in. There is no way to steer it. This is not Carnival Cruise Lines. There is no restaurants in there. There is no swimming pools. There is no luxury suites. This is basically a floating casket, is what it looked like. and they're stuck on the inside. Can you imagine? I don't know. I've had the, I don't know if you call it privilege or unfortunate experience of a couple times being on the ocean in turbulent waters. It can be scary. The boat rocks, it goes back and forth. And could you imagine if you get car sick in a car that has stabilizers and shocks and wheels? And can you imagine being on this ark and for a year you're being tossed to and fro all about? I know many times nurseries are decorated with Noah's ark stuff. But have you ever really considered, I don't know if it's as pretty a picture as we make it. I don't know that it was a fun time for Noah and his family. A year with all those animals, two of every kind, stuck in a boat with them. The smell, the excrement that come from them, the living together for a year, not being able to have a place. I don't know how much fresh water they took on board, but I doubt they were taking baths and showers every day. Just imagine just the logistics of for a year being in that ark, being limited on what you can eat, no fresh air. There was one window in the top of it, no fresh water other than what they stored, no doubt, to make sure they could drink. I'm just saying that they had a rough time, and I'm sure there was days that they said, God, thank you for protecting us, but I wonder if deep inside they wondered if they'd have been better off just drowning with the rest of the people. You know, I thought about the last year. We've had some rough times. America looks different than she's ever looked before. I told my wife the other day we had to go to Walmart, and we were in the Walmart and they were not far from closing. And I said, you know, I'm afraid that these companies and places that used to be open 24 hours have gotten used to not being, and they've adapted us to not. And I said, we may never see some things go back to the way they used to be. Whoever thought in America we would be wearing masks everywhere? Now, I didn't shake a lot of hands before. I'm not afraid to shake your hand. Just every church is different. Every place is different. I didn't want to offend anybody. If you will come up to me, I will be more than glad to shake your hand, talk with you. But usually if I'm in a church and we was before COVID, I would have walked to everybody, said, hello, I'm Brother Brian. Nice to meet you. Glad to be here. But in this, you don't know who you're going to offend, who you're going to make happy, and who you're going to make sad. So I just try to be careful with that. My family is careful. But I'm just saying we live in a different country now, do we not? Even church has been affected. Your services now are probably not that what they were a year and a half ago. People have been affected and all those things. And then we look at, as I was praying and studying this week, we look at even this last week, what occurred at the Capitol. Who would have ever thought? Regardless of what side of the aisle you're on, regardless of whether you're a Republican or a Democrat, and I'm neither, I'm a Christian and vote Christian values first, but my point is simply this, that when you look at where we're at today and thank God for His goodness, and Noah never forgot that they were being blessed by God and they were being helped by God, but even in the blessing of knowing they were in the ark, I don't think it was always enjoyable every day, and I believe there were some things that they had to endure, and I believe as we look at Noah and as he comes off the ark, I believe there's some things that we can see in Noah's life and Noah's actions as we begin 2021 that can help us during the time of uncertainty. Because I'm going to tell you something, just because he got off the ark didn't automatically make everything better. I believe hopefully we're coming out of the ark, so to speak, with COVID and in our country, but we're still probably months away from things feeling normal, if not 6 months or longer, and we're still on the downside. And when Noah stepped off that ark, there's still a whole lot that has to be done. And so I just want to ask you, as we begin 2021, the second Sunday of the year, where do we go from here as children of God? Where do we go? Let me give you just a couple things this morning. Actually, several things, but they'll be fast. First of all, I want you to notice the focus that Noah must have had. The focus, well, first of all, let me reverse that. Let's look at the forwardness, and then I'll go to the focus. That's why I've got it in my outline for a reason. Notice in verse 16 of chapter number 8, the Bible said, God spake unto Noah in verse 15, saying, here's what God says to Noah. It's finally time that they can come off the ark. I'm sure there's some trepidation. I'm sure there's a little fear. I'm sure there's a little concern. But God looks at Noah and says to him in verse 16, go forth of the ark. And again, listen, the Lord said, I want you to go forward. May I say, first of all, if we're going to move from here, then we got to go forward. You say, but preacher, it's a little scary out there and things are not the way they used to be. And I just dealt with a lot of that. But in spite of that, God's command of everything that occurred, in spite of all the things that may go on, God says to Noah, go forward. You know, when I say to the church today, we need to go forward. Whatever God wants us to do, God's commands and God's obligations for the church and God's commands for me as a Christian hasn't changed just because we're in 2021 and because things look different. We've got to move forward. Are you going forward or are you setting still? I see so many Christians and they've almost just stopped everything. But God's commands hadn't changed for us. And as we come into 2021, we need to commit to ourselves that regardless of how our country looks, regardless of how our church looks, regardless of the changes that may be, we are going to do what God said. And all through this Bible, God says to us, go forward, go forward, go forward. And I want to ask you this morning, as you begin this year, are you going forward or are you on standstill and pause? Not only do I see a forwardness, but secondly, now let's look at the focus. I want you to picture with me, God says, Noah, go forward. He has to give him that command. And as I said, I believe there's probably a little trepidation and fear in Noah, because when he stepped off that ark, now picture with me, for a year, the earth has been covered with water. The whole earth. Every living thing outside of Noah and his family that was on the earth, besides the fish and things, die. They've been rotting. They've been floating in water, which would delay the decaying process. Every plant, every tree, for a year has been setting underwater. The whole earth looks completely different. They say that the Grand Canyon was formed over quick amounts of water. I believe it was probably the flood that brought the Grand Canyon. But irregardless, my point is simply this, that when Noah got on the ark and he took around it his earth, and from the time a year later that he and his family step off the ark, you're looking at a whole different world. Where's our food going to come from? Are there going to be any trees available to have a fire, to build homes, to what? Can you imagine stepping off? Have you ever been at a stagnant? Have you ever been where water is stagnant and fish or whatever or plants have died? It stinks. When they stepped off that ark, for a year, nothing but rotting and decaying has occurred on this earth. And God says, Noah, go forth. But you know what's amazing to me, and I use the word focus because of this. When Noah steps off that ark, not one word of the death, of the destruction, of the decay is mentioned by Noah. Not one negative comment is made. And I know good and well, just common sense and knowing my Bible and reading the Bible and knowing how the earth operates, that when Noah stepped out of that ark, he was looking at a world unlike anything he had seen before. He was dealing with circumstances and situations unlike anything he had ever seen before. Yet in spite of that, not one comment negative. Can I just encourage us today? We're kind of like Noah. As we start 2021, we're stepping into a year and into an America and into a country and into situations unlike anything we've ever faced. Some of it stinks. Some of it's rotten. The liberties that are being taken very well could affect Christians before it's over. The regardless of who you're for or not for, and I do my best to leave politics to the pastor, but I'm just saying if they can take President Trump off of Twitter and all these things, then how long before they say a preacher can't post that Jesus is the only way to heaven? And by the way, y'all saying amen makes me feel good. I'm a Southern preacher. If y'all ain't figured out, I ain't from Michigan. Okay, so y'all saying amen, hallelujah, you ain't going to offend me, bother me. That's very culturally acceptable down there. Our Church of First Baptist, which is where we're members, says amen, so you will not offend me or shock me. I won't have a heart attack. If you don't like something I say, stick your tongue out. At least I know you're listening, okay? Won't bother me a bit. But listen to me. I've had about everything you can have happen while I preach down through the years. But when we look at our country and we look at what we're facing, it would be very easy as God's people to get negative. Well, God, if you loved us, why couldn't a Trump had four more years? Why are we facing? And whether you agree with him or not, and the election stolen or not, what happened on Wednesday, I was driving to Hammond, Indiana to preach, and I was listening to it, and I was amazed that in our country, that we was in a place, if they could get in the Capitol that easy, what would keep an enemy from doing it? And I don't care what side of the aisle you're on, violence is wrong, period. It was wrong what was happening in the summer with the liberals, and it's wrong when it happens with the conservatives. It's wrong, no matter how you look at it. And I sat there thinking, this ain't good, and any clout and any help that he could have been in the remaining days has been wiped away. And as I sat there thinking, driving down the road, I thought, God, we're in a mess in our country, and it would be very easy with the recent events to focus on all that's wrong. Can't eat at restaurants. I'm glad I get to travel, because other states are not like Michigan, thank the Lord. And many places, restaurants are open, and we've been able to eat. And when you've got a big family and you travel, you're thankful for that. Amen. And I'm just saying that we could sit here this morning, every one of us, we could focus on the bill of health that we have. Maybe the doctor said you've got cancer. Maybe you're facing some illness. Maybe you're having to go through treatments. Maybe you've had COVID or someone in your family has COVID. Who thought we'd be using those words? And social distancing and all the things that we are, and maybe the governor is going to come out and say that we've got to lock down even more. And when President Biden gets in, he's already said that there's a good chance that we may be locked down more, and I may have to come off the road, and churches may have to go back to live stream service. And trust me, I've said, God, how am I going to make it, and what are we going to do? I'm just saying, as a Christian, as we start 2021, it would be very easy to look at around us and say things are different and they stink, and it seems like we're dying, and it seems like it's discouraged. It'd be very easy to get discouraged and to focus on the wrong things. What I want you to notice is that's not what Noah did. As we start 2021, where's your focus this morning? What's got your attention? I listened Wednesday to what happened, and then we got closer to the church. I got my mind on God. And I'll be honest with you, I can't even tell you a whole lot that's happened since then, because I determined I can either focus on what God's doing in my life, or I can focus on all the negative and be discouraged every day. Where's your focus? Well, things ain't ever going to be back. Okay, what's the new normal then? See, as a child of God, we have got the ability, because we have a Bible. By the way, can I tell y'all who wins in this thing when it's all said and done? God's going to win. We know we're going to heaven. We know that he's going to take. So between now and then, whatever occurs is irrelevant. We're on the winning side. We have the Holy Ghost in our life. We have a Bible. We have church. We have God. And I'm saying, you can either focus on what's right in your life, or you can focus on all the wrong and be miserable. There's enough to keep you miserable every day. But there's also enough mercy and the light, mercy and the grace of God and the compassion of God and the goodness of God and the blessings of God for you to be satisfied and content every day. Noah stepped out into a world that was different than he had ever seen. It wasn't something I'm sure he enjoyed or liked, but not one time does he focus on that. Instead, we see my third point. Not only where do we go from here? We got to go forward. We got to have the right focus, but we've got to have faith. He, in spite, watch what verse 18 said. Noah went forth, and his sons and his wife and his sons' wives with him, in spite of when they open that door and when they open that window or the top of the ark and they climb out. Can you just imagine? By the way, there's a great type of the rapture there. That door, I said door, and I was mistaken. The door never opens. When God shuts you in, that's a type of eternal security. The door never come open. That's why the Bible said the top was removed. The only way they got out of the ark was going through the top. You know how we're getting out of this? We're going up, amen, because of our salvation. And I'm simply saying that when they climb out of that ark and they take a look around, it took faith to say, God, would it not have been easier to say, you know what, let's just stay in here a little longer. We're scared. It's a lot better in here. You thought it smelled bad in here? I can see Mrs. Noah. I think we'll just stay in here. It smells a lot better. We know what we're dealing with here. We're comfortable here. Our beds are here. We've made a life for a year here. It'd have been a lot easier just to stay here than to step out into the unknown. How do you do that? Faith. Trust me, I'm not saying I'm an expert on faith. I'm not. But listen, many times when God says go forward, it takes faith. As I said, I left a great church. I could have stayed there the rest of my life. We had a 5,000 square foot home. We had a property with horses, and God was good to us. And the church took excellent care of us. We were provided for. Our needs were met. Our bills was paid. And we were good. And God says, go forth. Okay, God, I've got $6,000 plus bills a month. They're not going to disappear. They're going to be added to because the church provided a house and provided this and that for us. And now all that's going to be on me. How am I going to make it go forth? See, the Bible said without faith, it's impossible to please Him. And many times us Christians get stalled in the ark. We don't ever get out of it when God's pushing us out of our comfort zone and pushing us maybe to go and do something that's not comfortable or convenient for us because we don't exercise faith. What if I fail? If I'm trusting God and I'm doing it His way, it wouldn't be my failure, it'd be His. You know what I found out? God doesn't fail. I can't tell you how we've made it. This is January. August on, we had no check. I had no promise of income. I had no monthly support. I still have very little support because of not being able to get in a lot of churches because of COVID. God, of all the times God tell me to step down and trust Him with, and we're in shutdown and churches are shut down, none of it made sense. But can I tell you, we're in January and every bill I've had's been paid. My family has not starved. God has took care of us miraculously at times. We've had to pray in money at times. We've had to pray in the things that we need, but God has took excellent care of us. And I stand here today just telling you that when God says go forth, you're going to have to do it by faith. It's easy to talk about faith, a little harder to exercise it. And then I want you to notice, I believe the reason this focus stayed positive is notice that if we're going to go forward from here, we got to have a forwardness, a focus, a faith. But look at verse number 20. There's got to be a fellowship. The minute he gets off the ark, look at verse 20. And is a conjunction from verse 18. Noah went forth. Verse 19, all the animals come off. Verse 20, immediately Noah builded an altar unto the Lord. Fellowship. You want to know what's going to help you more this year than anything you could do? Making sure your fellowship with God stays first. You want to know how you keep your focus on the right thing? Making sure that your Bible is more important than Fox News or any other news for that matter. Making sure that your Bible is more important than your TV show. Making sure that prayer and talking with God is more important than talking to anyone else. Making sure that if you're able to be in church, that you're in church. And I get some people because of fear and health issues can't come. I understand that. But making sure that if you're able to be in God's house, that you're here and that the Bible stays prominent. And if you can't be here, watching it through the live stream and keeping your heart where it needs to be. Noah gets off the ark and immediately grabs what he needs and builds an altar because he understands if we're going to make it, we need God. Can I tell you, church, in 2021, if we're going to make it, we need God more than we've ever needed him. We need his help. We need his power. We need his presence. We need his fellowship. And Noah gets off the ark and no doubt he sees all the negative around him, but instead he focuses on that altar and he focuses on fellowship with God. And I'm asking you today, as we begin 2021, how is your fellowship? Because I'm going to tell you something. We need God every day. And there's not a time we don't need him. But I'm just telling you, as the circumstances get worse in our country, we better be reaching out to the God of heaven and saying, Lord, not by might nor by power, but by thy spirit. We need him. Do you have fellowship with him this morning? You know, when you have a problem in your life, do you go to him first or you get on the phone and call someone? God wants us to have fellowship. And where do we go from here? We better renew. I see so many Christians and they know their fellowship life is not what it ought to be. They don't pray like they should. They don't read their Bible like they should. They know that. Many of you make commitments. You're going to read your Bible every day, beginning of the year. You've already busted that. And so the devil says, what's the point? What's the use? You've already failed. So why? Listen, I'm just telling you, we need that fellowship if we're going to keep our focus and our forwardness and our faith the way it needs to be. How's your fellowship this morning? I don't mean when you come to church on Sunday and Wednesday, but I mean Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, when you're at the store, when you're at the job, how is your fellowship? And then I want you to notice, if we're going to go from here, we got to have some fruitfulness. Watch what God said in verse number 17. God tells him in verse 16 to go forth. In verse 17, he said, bring forth with thee every living thing that is with thee of all flesh, both the fowl, cattle, every creeping thing that creepeth on the earth, that they may breed abundantly in the earth. Watch now, and be fruitful and multiply. Look at chapter 9, verse 1. And God blessed Noah and his sons and said unto them, be fruitful. Can I tell you what we need to determine as we go forward this year? We need to determine we're going to be fruitful. I'm not talking about in our money, in our pay. I'm talking about spiritually. We need to be fruitful. We need to multiply. You want to know how we build our churches again? You want to know how we please God? I remind you that the greatest commandment God gave, the commission to the church, which is the people that God gave, is we're to take the gospel, we're to give it to someone else, we're to reproduce ourselves, we're to get someone saved and show them how to get someone saved. If we don't get back to that, I can't tell you how many Christians I meet across the country that have never personally won someone to Christ. I'm not talking about at the altar. I'm not talking about in a Sunday school class, outside of the church on purpose, that have had a plan and presented the gospel and led someone to Jesus Christ. And we wonder why our churches are dying and the crowd's getting older and young people ain't coming. And the devil and the world tells us, well, it's because we're, you know, our stand's wrong and the Baptists have been knocked by the non-denominationals and the young people. Well, your music is boring and you don't have this and you don't have that. I'm telling you, that's not the problem. The problem is God's people have quit being fruitful. How fruitful were you last year? Who's in the church today because of your witness? How many people did you personally lead to Christ? How many people did you share the gospel with? Hey, listen, I want to remind you that soul winning is not a gift of the Spirit. It's obedience to a commandment. Just like prayer and reading your Bible and coming to church, God says, go tell someone about me. I preached Wednesday night and gave the 13-point plan about how you can personally win someone to Christ. Brother Wilkerson sent me a text message yesterday with an audio message of someone that had called him and left a message on his phone. And it was a fellow that apparently had not won someone to Christ before. And he listened Wednesday night and he got the plan. And he went out sometime between Thursday and the time that Brother Wilkerson sent me that message, which was yesterday. So in a couple days, he said, I got help and I understood how to win someone to Christ. And he told Brother Wilkerson in that message, he said, I talked to this guy and I was able to share the gospel and the guy got saved. Ain't that amazing? when you do it God's way, with God's word, God, and he was just thrilled. And he said, I know it's COVID, but the guy was so happy that he wasn't going to hell. He just hugged me. That's become a big deal now. That would have been pretty common. But the guy, he said, and apparently what he was saying is, I forgot it was COVID. This guy forgot it's COVID. And we're just hugging each other because he's just accepted Christ. You want to know what will stir an excitement in your soul and what will help you keep your focus on the right thing? Quit focusing on the negative. It's all out there. There's dead things all around. There's carcasses. There's bones. Can you imagine the carcasses and the bones and the dead stuff that was laying all around? But Noah decided to focus on fellowshipping with God. And God said, what I want you to focus on is being fruitful. Quit focusing on all these things that you can't change and do something to make a difference. How fruitful or were you last year? Why don't you determine this year, in spite of COVID, as a church, as a family, as an individual, I'm going to be fruitful. And then I like this, and I'm about done. I want you to notice we need some first. In chapter 9, watch what Noah does in verse 20. He's off the ark. They're having to learn to live different. Watch verse number 20 of chapter 9. And Noah began to be an husbandman, and he planted a vineyard. Before the ark, Noah had no interest in husbandry and vineyards. But after the ark, Noah realizes, I got to do something. And he began, he started something. He got out of his comfort zone. He got out of what was normal. He got out of his convenience. He got out of comfortability and said, I'm going to stretch myself and do something that I've not done before. And he began to be a husbandman. Now, you can just plant vines and grapes, but they tell me it takes a lot of work, time. I've talked to people that have vineyards. It takes a lot of work, time, and skill to learn how to cultivate those grapes and grow those grapes where they're effective. Noah said, I'm going to put time into something that stretches me. Can I ask you, spiritually speaking, as we start 2021, where do we go from here? Did COVID help you stretch yourself, or did you crawl into a hole? I remember when everything got shut down. I went from early morning to late night. We had a lot of ministries at the church, plus me preaching out some. And when we got locked down, I went from being very busy from early morning to late night to just nothing. I was like a caged animal. And I had to make a choice. Me and my family had to make a choice, just like you did. I said, okay, we could sit around and binge on TV series and video games and all this stuff, or we can try to figure out how to make this profitable. We determined to try to make it profitable. As we go into 2021, what have you began spiritually? What are you stretching yourself in? What have you started that was not a part of your life before to try to enhance your life? I say to the church, what ministries? Well, preacher, we're just hunkered down. Listen, now's not the time to be hunkering down. I believe we're in the last days. I don't know when Jesus is coming, but I know that it's closer than it was yesterday and closer than it was a year before. And I don't know when he's coming, but here's what I know. Now's not the time to let off the gas. Now's the time to say people are scared and people are wondering and people want answers. And we've got the truth. We've got the answers. Now's the time to figure out how do we begin something that we weren't doing to reach someone else and to make a difference. What are we doing? We can hunker down, we can ride it out, we can put on the brakes and say we're just going to get through it, or we can say by the grace of God, there's going to be some first in my life. And then I close with this. Where do we go from here? Here's what we need ultimately. Look at chapter 9, verse number 1. God blessed Noah. In chapter 8, verse 21, the Lord smelled a sweet savor, and the Lord said in his heart, I will not again curse the ground anymore for man's sake. In other words, what I want you to see is that Noah's life and Noah's family after the flood, in this horrible situation, in awful circumstances, because of their actions, they had the favor of God. You know what we need? We need the favor of God. We need to be blessed by God, do we not? I don't care who's in the White House. My commandment hasn't changed. By the way, when you got saved, I remind you, you become a citizen of another country. We're now citizens of the kingdom of God. This world's not our home. We're just passing through. We sing that. We read that. But I don't know that we really understand that as Christians. So we shouldn't get too shook up about what happens here. My allegiance, my duties, and my responsibilities have not changed regardless of what goes on in D.C. I'm a Christian. I report to the Lord Jesus Christ. People are still dying and going to hell. They still need the Lord. I've still got a responsibility to raise my family for God. I've got a responsibility as a Christian to do what I can. And if I'm going to do it, I need the favor of God. The only way Noah was going to make it in that situation was he had to be blessed. Can I tell you what God wants to do for every Christian in here? He wants to bless us. He wants to smell a sweet savor from our life. This idea that God's just looking to judge and looking to throw down lightning bolts and fire from heaven to us. God is a God of wrath. He is a God that's angry over sin. I understand all that. But God desires to bless everyone in here. And whether he can or not, and whether he does or not, is going to be dependent on how we respond to what we're facing. I challenge you this morning. Determine this year is going to be the best year as a Christian. For you. You're going to be the best church member, best husband, best wife, best daddy, best mama. Well, you know what COVID did for my family? It made all of us, because as a big family, you kind of get stuck in routines, and we was in ministry and busy. It made every one of us reevaluate. How many of y'all spent more time with your family when things got shut down than you'd spent in a long time? That could be good, and then it can be not so good sometimes. But here's what I'm telling you. It made all of us evaluate. It made me evaluate what kind of husband have I been and what kind of husband do I want to be? What kind of dad have I been and what kind of preacher have I been? Hey, I'm telling you, if we don't use these ark experiences, what we're facing right now, God knew, none of this caught God by surprise, church. So how are we responding? How have you responded thus far? Where do we go from here? Let's bow our heads, close our eyes. I want to ask you this morning, heads are bowed, eyes are closed. I want to ask you, how many would say, preacher, I've heard the message and God has spoke to my heart in an area and there's some commitments I need to, I'm not talking about a New Year's resolution, but I'm saying in your heart you know that there's some things, maybe your focus, maybe being fruitful, maybe your fellowship with God. There's an area of the message that God spoke to your heart and has dealt with you. And you would say, no, I'm not going to come to you. I'm not going to call you out. But just by a raise of hand, you would say, preacher, God spoke to my heart. And you may not know my name, but you can pray for the person. I want you to pray that God help me with what he's dealt with me about. Can I just see your hand? God bless you. God bless you. Hands up all over. Thank you. Our sister's going to play softly. I don't know how you normally do invitation, but here's what I'm going to do. The pastor left it to me. I've been a pastor for many years. As she plays softly, if God spoke to your heart, I want to ask you, why don't you slip out of your pew, come to an altar? Well, preacher, can't I pray right where I'm at? Yes, you can, and God hears that. I don't want to make that clear. But all through the Bible, there's this idea that if you draw nigh to God, God draws nigh to you, and this idea of humbling ourselves at an altar. If you can't kneel, come sit on one of the seats here in the front. There's plenty of room, but I ask you to make it a personal commitment and make it, seal it in your heart this morning. God, what you dealt with me about, whatever it is, Lord, my focus has been, I've seen so many Christians, it's gotten negative. The fruit of the Spirit is love and joy and peace. We should be happy as God's people. We shouldn't be spewing hate and venom. We shouldn't be complaining. We shouldn't be griping. We should have the joy of God in our life. Yet so many of us have fell into the trap of acting like lost people because we lost our focus. If God spoke to your heart, why don't you get up right now, find your place on the altar, and just say, God, I want your help. I want you to touch me. Some are coming. What will people think? There was many hands raised. If you're able, why don't you just come? If you're not able, God will hear you. But there's something I believe special that when we make that commitment to come to an altar and say, God, would you touch me? Would you help me? Father, I'm praying for these that raised their hand and those that need to come right now. Lord, thank you for liberty. Thank you for the listening ear of this congregation. They don't know me at all. And I'm thankful, Lord, that they've been such a good listening audience. But Lord, more importantly, your word is real and your spirit has spoke. And I ask of you to touch this church. God, there's no reason ignoring all that we're facing. It's real and it's out there. But you have so much more for us to get if we would just respond and pay attention. So help us. I pray you touch every hand that went up. I've seen at least, I don't know, easily 15 plus hands that went up this morning. And I pray that the Spirit of God would touch every one of them. And whatever area you spoke to them, I pray, Lord, that they would respond obediently. Bless this church. Lord, please help us tonight. Touch the service this evening. Bless the pastor. Please, God, give him quick recovery. And Lord, help us to take from the message today. I love you. And Lord, it may have been feebly presented, but the power of the Word of God can help us if we'll let it. So touch this service. Touch these Christians, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. God bless you, brother. You come right on.
Thank you, Brother Treadwell, for the message that you gave us this morning is where do we go from here? I pray that that message spoke to you. It spoke to me. I just pray that you're able to take that message with you this week. Please join us again this evening as we return for 6 o'clock worship service. And if you're able to join us here in person, we appreciate that. And if not, we pray that you would join us online. Thank you again for all those attendants. We had some first-time guests this morning. We thank you as well. Have a great week and a wonderful day. God bless you.